910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Trump found guilty. I'm Sherry Preston. The former president is talking about his case right now from Trump Tower and the trial that resulted in 34 guilty counts last night.
You saw what happened to some of the witnesses that were on our side. They were literally crucified.
Trump at Trump Tower once again, calling the trial unfair.
It was a rigged trial. We wanted a venue change where we could have a fair trial. We didn't get it. We wanted a judge change. We wanted a judge that wasn't conflicted. And obviously, he didn't do that.
With the verdict, Trump becomes the first former president to be convicted of felony crimes. ABC's Mary Bruce with more on how the Biden campaign might use it between now and November.
Don't expect the Biden campaign to completely upend its messaging because of this. I'm told they're going to continue to focus on what is at stake in this election, highlighting abortion rights and the threat to democracy. The big question now is just how much will President Biden and his campaign lean in to Trump's conviction?
This is ABC.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Perry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. How badly will Donald Trump's 34 felony convictions hurt him with voters? Marquette poll director Charles Franklin tells Civic Media, maybe not much.
Impeachment didn't move the numbers. And the civil cases didn't move the numbers. This one is a different kettle of fish, but let's wait and see before we assume that there will be big movement in the numbers this time.
The Marquette poll from earlier this month suggests a possible 4-point bump for President Biden. The Wisconsin National Guard is looking for a new leader. Major General Paul Knapp will resign as Adjutant General next week. Governor Evers' office isn't saying why Knapp is stepping down. Knapp has served as the state's National Guard commander for 4 years. Brigadier General David May will lead the Guard in the meantime. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A roofer was killed in Duluth on Thursday morning after being electrocuted while working at a home. According to the Duluth Police Department, the roofer was working on North 17 Avenue East in the Endion neighborhood when the accident occurred. He was reportedly climbing a ladder along an area that had a metal gutter, which then came into contact with a power line and electrocuted him. The man was taken to the hospital and was later pronounced dead. Law enforcement officials did not reveal his identity. Construction on the historic Duluth Armory is set to begin this summer. According to a Northern News Now report, the Armory Arts and Music Center has been working to rehabilitate the building for years and will now be able to get a full renovation thanks to a $58 million partnership with the building operator, Sherman Associates. Officials are hoping the renovations will increase tourism in the area, making the Armory a cultural venue that combines music and history. Construction work could wrap up by 2026. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Friday night football for the Badgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers football team will kick off their season with a week one matchup against Western Michigan on Friday night, August 29th on Fox Sports 1 and the Badgers Radio Network. The kickoff at 8 p.m. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell on how the team was more aggressive during practices this spring.
In order for us to be at a place to play for a championship, and this is what we have to do on a daily basis. We got to push, and then ultimately we got to continue to raise the level of the things that we do.
And the Badgers will finish the regular season against Minnesota on Black Friday, November 29th on CBS. That's a day game, kickoff at 11 a.m. Baseball. The Brewers extended their lead in first place after beating the Chicago Cubs again, this time 6-4. Milwaukee won the series against the Cubs 3-1. Tonight, the Brewers' homestand continues against the White Sox. They have struggled, now 22.5 games out of first place in their division in the American League. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy with spotty showers today and possibly a thunderstorm. Around 0.5 inch of rain is likely and high temperatures today flirting with 70. Chances of rain continue overnight and even into tomorrow afternoon, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, "I just don't get it. What was in it for them?"
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us for a Friday edition. We'll get you ready for the weekend, take a look at some fun things, and talk a little politics along the way. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-CIVIC. Leave a message on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are waiting to be joined by Karen Speriani, who is the Executive Director of the Milwaukee Animal Domestic Control Commission, MADC for short. They have just an abundance of animals, and they really need some help. So if you're looking to add something, add an addition to your family, say, yeah, and get a pet, now is a good time to do that.
I can't listen to this. I'm going to want another dog, and we've made a decision. No more, no dog.
Only one?
No. We want a second dog, but we want to wait until Maybell, because my girl is perfect. We want to wait until Maybell is like 6 or 7 years old, when she's getting a little slower.
Yeah.
Get a dog, a younger dog to revitalize her, but not yet.
Not exactly yet. Wanted to also share this comment from Tony on the live stream. She said, "Good morning. I'm so grateful for the Civic Media app, as my husband and I are leaving for South Dakota this weekend to be work campers for this summer."
Wow.
Well, glad you're taking us along, Tony. Really appreciate that.
Long time no see, too.
Yeah,
we missed
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. We did miss you. And a good reminder, too, to download the Civic Media app.
Oh, please.
Super easy. Go to wherever you get your apps. You can download it for free. And then that enables you to listen to all of the stations all across the state, all the different shows. You can call and text directly from the app, which is really handy.
Free. That's all I'm going to say again.
It's absolutely free. All right. We are joined now. Very excited to have her. I reached out real last minute yesterday after I saw this on WISN Channel 12. Karen Speriani is the executive director for MADC, the Milwaukee Animal Domestic Control Commission. Good morning, Karen. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I saw this the other night on Channel 12, and you have just been inundated with animals being surrendered.
Well, here's the thing. It's hard to say what the actual reason they're here is, because people know in our community, or are even told by other organizations, that, oh, we're full, but if you tell MADC it's a stray, they have to take it. Because we are not in the business of taking owner surrenders unless they're for euthanasia, and we only euthanize, not for convenience, but, you know, if an owner has a very sick animal, or if an owner has an animal that's bitten and it's dangerous. But with so many shelters, like, our industry totally changed. And after COVID, all the shelters, when we kind of everyone shut down, MADC was open the whole time, but a lot of shelters went to having appointments for, you know, for surrendering or adopting, or wait lists for those things. And people in our community tend to need things, you know, that day. I mean, that's society. We want something, we want now. We go to Amazon. We mm-hmm. shop online. We want everything the minute we want it. And when someone wakes up in the morning and says, well, you know what, I'm not able or willing to give this animal in my life a good home anymore, their first thought, great, I'll bring it to the Humane Society. And the Humane Society, you know, is able to say, well, you know, we don't have any purebred German Shepherd puppies, so we can take yours. But the person with the adult pit bull, they're going to say, well, we have too many pit bulls, so you have to take it home. And the person, you know, right now, they're, you know, we're back to many evictions in our community. We have a lot of landlords that have very specific breed and size restrictions for animals. So even people that don't want to give up their animal find themselves in that position. And once they come in and say, this is a stray, and we try to talk to them and see what the barrier is, like if it really is their animal, is there a way we can help them? But once they say it, they kind of feel like they have to stick with it.
Sure.
Because it's like uncomfortable. Like, you know, I know our industry has told people for many, many years, like someone ever says, like, I had to rehome an animal and they work in animal welfare, they're like blacklisted. Like you're looked really down on. And that goes the same for the community. When someone's has to surrender, well, I just got divorced or I got evicted. Well, pets are for life. You should have done something. And, you know, it's not always possible for people to do things. And so we've managed to vilify rehoming for valid reasons. And I would much rather have someone rehome their animal, even if I have to help intervention with getting the animal healthy or getting it, you know, groomed or whatever, so they are able to rehome that animal, then and it can stay in a home. Because I'm going to tell you, the atmosphere at Matic for an animal is so stressful.
I bet.
Like we were created to be a short-term holding facility for strays, and we are just full and full and full. So now, if you're a dog, you're sitting in a room with 50 other dogs facing each other, typically, or at least, you know, direct line sight. And most dogs are not used to that.
Right.
So they're all ramped up all the time. They're stressed out. They get stomach aches. Their immune system plummets. And cats kind of suffer the same thing. And cats really, like, you know, do not give an F about what people want. They are like, I am superior being to you. Take me out of this cage. They do not like being in cages. And worse, when they have to just sit there staring at another cat in front of them, they also get sick really easily. We get a lot of people that bring in their cats when they're pregnant. We just have a lady now who has a cat. Like, she's like, can I just bring it in for the birth? Like, no, your cat won't get sick here. And kittens born at Matic, we try to get them right into foster because they will also get sick.
Sure.
So I don't know, again, why this is occurring, but I do know other shelters were able to change their way they operate to manage to not be overpopulated. And we don't have that luxury. We're a public safety organization. We work with health departments. Mm-hmm. If someone comes in and says, this is a stray, you know, we're not going to be like, well, you're lying.
Right.
We're just going to say, okay.
You have to take it.
Take the animal in.
Yeah.
But so it's really hard to say, but we're over 1,200 animals already this month.
Oh my gosh.
July, August, summer number. So I don't even know what the summer is going to be like. And, you know, we have a lot of antiquated policies in our community. You know, a lot of the municipalities have just heard the words TNR. It's kind of that trap, spay, neuter, vaccinate, and return program. Because people like to have these big colonies, and those are super not popular in, like, city of Milwaukee, where everyone's properties are kind of very close to each other. So, but we do need to change the way that we look at animal control and how animal control works and do a better job with all of our partners. There's not like a one size fits all, you know, solution. It's not like badgering other shelters to take our animals. It's not vilifying the public. It's all of us working together. But with so many other problems going on, it's just not prioritized. But people that love animals, you know, it is the most important thing for them, but other, you know, people that are not prioritizing animals, they have plenty of other problems in our community to deal with.
It's much lower down on the list. If you're just joining us, Karen Sparapani is our guest. She is the executive director of Matic, the Milwaukee Area Domestic Animal Control Commission. And we're just talking about, they are overwhelmed with animals right now, 1,200, which I've been in your facility, Karen, and it's a great facility. And you guys have upgraded a lot over the years, but still 1,200 is an astonishing number. And
yeah, I mean, we don't have 1,200 in the building right now, right. But over the month we've taken in 1,200. So we only have like maybe 525 animals.
That's a big, I know
it's not better, but
that's a,
I just want to be clear.
Yeah, no, but that's a big number. And as you said, because of the, you are a society protection agency, you have different rules that you have to follow as far as taking in animals. You don't have the luxury of saying, as you said, some other agencies can maybe say, no, we can't take that dog right now. If they come to you and say it's a stray, you have to take it. So you're really, right. Your hands are tied.
Yeah. Well, also right. the thing too, is you was mentioning about the woman asking about, like, can you hold the cat till the pregnancy? It's like, this also isn't an animal hotel. Like, there are places you can board your pet. This is not the place. I can't believe, I don't know why I'm saying I can't believe, but just someone saying, can you just hold on to this for me? Thank you. I'll be back in like a month.
Yeah, we get that all the time. And it breaks your heart because we have people, I have to have surgery and I'm going to be in rehab for a month. So can I leave my pet here? No. Like, if they knew what it was like here, they would never want to leave their pet here. But also they just assume we'll do it for free. And people, you know, boarding is expensive for animals. Yeah. And we get people, like, we legit have people that drop their dog or cat off on Friday and come back on Monday to reclaim it because it was cheaper than a boarding facility. And they don't have to get vaccines ahead of time. Like, that happens all the time.
Oh, Karen.
And if you have that, you have that attitude towards your pet like that, I can't imagine the home life is much better. And that's really traumatic for a pet. How do you, like, okay, I'm getting angry now.
Yeah, even worse is some people just fill up a big dish of food and water bowl and go away for the weekend. So, you know, you have to pick what's the worst evil there.
Yeah,
yeah.
But we get people that, you know, are arrested or go to jail and want us to hold their animal for, you know, however long they're going to be in there. And again, it's really hard. Like, I totally get feeling where it's judge people, but we're just here for the animals. And most people are good. They make bad decisions in the moment, but I don't know how we get out of this without all of us coming together and trying to figure out a way to help the community, keep pets in their homes, and just take in the animals that need us and get them all adopted. Because that's really what we just need to do.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation and talk about what we can do when we come back from this very short break. If you have the time, can you stay around for one more shorter segment, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. Karen Sparapani is the executive director of MADC, the Milwaukee Area Domestic Animal Control Commission. They are being overwhelmed with animals right now. If you are looking for a pet, now might be a really good time. Stay close. We're going to keep this conversation going. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. She don't mean no harm. She just
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Who let the dogs out?
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by Karen Spiropani. She is the executive director of the Milwaukee Area Domestic Animal Control Commission, known by for short as MADC. And we're talking about, they're just overwhelmed with animals right now. So, Karen, if someone is thinking about adopting, now would be a really good time to adopt a pet from MADC.
Yeah, and actually, we have some really awesome programs because we are kind of understanding that people want guarantees. You know, people have almost no hesitation about adopting a puppy because in their mind, they're a little blank slate that they can train.
Right.
But when they see so many adult dogs, and especially dogs that look like they could be having some pit bull in them, they're concerned. So we have started these programs to let people kind of test drive dogs, per se. It's like, I always joke, like, when you adopt an animal, you're getting married on the first date, and that normally does not really work well.
Yeah.
But so this way you can take a dog out for one day, or I mean, even like, I always think like singles should come take a dog out and walk around the lakefront, and you know, that's a good way to meet people. But you could take it for a weekend, see how a dog is, or for the 5 days. It's really hard too when you come to a shelter where the dogs are so ramped up and stressed that they don't show well sometimes.
Sure.
And you get a bad kind of thinking of what they're like. So that's why we really encourage people to kind of take them home for a little bit. And if it doesn't work out, you can return the dog and take a different one when you're ready, you know, but it helps the dog, because any time a dog spends outside of our building is really a bonus. And we get to know what the dog's like. Well, it doesn't like to be left alone, but it's totally housebroken. So we could tell another potential adopter, you know, the good things about the dog and some things that it might need some work on. But yes, adopting is critical. Fostering, again, even if you want to be more of a long-term foster, we let people foster kittens, which most people love doing that.
I'm sure.
It's just so darn cute. But you can also do a long-term foster on a dog where you can show it to your network of people, try to find it a home, you know, on your, like, it'd still be through MADC, but, you know, wouldn't have to come back here for that. They're all spayed and neutered, just like any other shelter. You get all the same vetting you'd get anywhere else. But yes, getting them out is so important, and having not so many in the building at one time. I mean, this is what in the South happens.
Yes.
Where we have not as endemic a disease system of, like, distemper is very rare up here. But still, we try to, the bigger the population, the more likely disease is able to run through. So just, you know, again, we were never set up for this. And in fact, we were basically set up to just euthanize animals after the stray hold if a shelter or rescue didn't take them. And that's not moral or ethical. I mean, it really bothers people, and it should. Like, that's no way to operate. These animals did not ask to be born. They didn't ask to end up at MADC. And they're certainly not asking because we're too full, so let's euthanize everyone in Kennel 2 today. So that's why it's just really important. And it's so hard to compete with really awesome places like Wisconsin Humane and Haws, because they have beautiful campuses. The dogs are presented much differently.
Yes.
And, you know, we're never going to have that. And it's not because the municipalities don't care, but they really set this place up to be a kind of a low-cost, short-term animal holding facility. Because who knew, you know, 20 years ago or 25 years ago, that this is going to be what animal welfare was like. And again, I'm trying to work with them to be more progressive. And some municipalities really embrace that. Some want to, but their aldermen or citizens are not there yet. But that's the only way this gets fixed, is to all of us work together on really open program, being totally transparent with, you know, inviting people to come in and tell the truth. Hey, yes, this is my dog. It broke its leg and I can't afford to fix it. Well, maybe we can find a way for you to get it fixed for super low cost or free. You know, if you just talk to us and tell us what's going on, because honestly, you know, we can think anything about an owner that comes in here. But when that animal, like, that's what I love seeing when someone comes to reclaim an animal that's been here a day or two, and the animal is just like melting with joy. Yeah. Like they're so happy to see that person.
Yeah.
Like that's what makes it, you know, like we cannot judge people. People make mistakes. You know, I lie to my husband about what I spend on stuff. Like, you know, we all lie about something. So, you know, people, again, don't want to look bad and they want to look like they're helping an animal. And I get that. But they're going to do more for the animal by being honest, saying, look, this is my own animal. Like we can, we have some senior citizens that we just deliver food to them every couple weeks because they have no mobility, no car, no way to get out. So we just bring food to their house because we don't want them to have to give up an animal that's keeping, you know, helping their mental health and sure. They're not lonely because they have their little buddy, you know? So it's really just a lot of pitching in, and there's certainly enough groups that want to do this, but it's just galvanizing them together and getting everybody to pitch in. Like we have 39 people and we have 1200 animals come through here this month. And then there's other shelters with like double that or triple that and don't have anywhere near, because again, one employee is so expensive that we just work really on bare bones staff.
Well, again, you have a much different structure than these other organizations. You have much different rules that can confine you and constrain you. So it is about people who are passionate about animals contacting their own aldermen, finding out what changes could be made, maybe volunteering for Matic, maybe fostering for Matic, certainly consider adopting an animal. And I don't have pit bulls, but I know friends who have pit bull mixes and they love them and say they are wonderful, loving animals. So I don't think you can paint this broad brush that every pit bull or any dog that has pity in it is a menace. That's just not fair. We don't have a lot of time left, Karen, unfortunately. Yeah. Give us your phone number for Matic if people want to call and find out about volunteering or fostering or adopting. How can they find you?
The easiest way is to go online, which is MADAC, MADACC.org. But if you'd prefer to call, it's 414-649-8640. And we'd love to have, like, and people can have, like, you know, I like to do graphic arts. I like to fold laundry. Whatever it is you like to do, we can find a way to use you. So don't think just because you don't want to touch animals or be hands-on because you love them too much, you want to take them all home. We got you. We got a place for you here.
We will include all of the contact information for Matic in our show notes. So give us about an hour. Greg does a really great job with very comprehensive notes about everything we've covered on the show. So we will have that posted after the show. Hopefully, Karen, let's check back in another month or so and see where things are. I'd really like to know that we can get people together and get people. It's about letting people know what's going on, right? It's
absolutely.
About letting people
exactly.
What's going on. All right. You hang in there. You have a very, very difficult job. Thank you and your staff for all that you do. Karen Sparapani with Matic, the Milwaukee Area Domestic Animal Control Commission. Take care, Karen. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Stay with us. News is coming up next. Don't go away. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Investigative journalists are suing the Wisconsin Justice Department for personal information and disciplinary records for all 16,000 law enforcement officers in Wisconsin. The DOJ calls that excessive. The Badger Project and the Invisible Institute argue they're entitled to the information under the state's open records law. Expect First Lady Jill Biden to speak with urgency in Wisconsin tonight, much as she did at a recent campaign stop in Michigan.
We have to meet this moment as if our rights are at stake, because they are. As if our democracy is on the line, because it is.
Mrs. Biden is set to campaign at Milwaukee's Festa Italiana. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Washington Elementary in Cloquet has been recognized as an ESEA Distinguished School. According to a Northern News Now report, the national award is given out for Native American students' scores in last year's state standardized testing period. School officials say about one quarter of their student body identifies as Native American, and they've worked to create a welcoming environment for their students. Washington Elementary was one of two schools in Minnesota to receive the national award. A Chicago man was arrested in Ashland County last week in a massive fentanyl bust. According to the Ashland County Sheriff's Office, 56-year-old Charles Mathis was arrested and found to be in possession of over 100 grams of fentanyl with an estimated street value of $50,000. He was taken into custody near the Bad River Casino in the township of Sanborn and is now at the Ashland County Jail on a $50,000 bond. The Ashland Sheriff's Office was assisted by the Bayfield County Sheriff's Office.
And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. No highly anticipated blockbusters open this week as the box office takes a breath after the holiday weekend. There are, however, several well-reviewed films opening, including The Dead Don't Hurt, written and directed by Viggo Mortensen, who also stars. The film is a Western drama and is reviewing well with critics, including the Capital Times' Rob Thomas. Summer Camp has some serious star power in Diane Keaton, Kathy Bates, and Alfre Woodard, but has not been shown to critics yet, so beware. Also opening is Ezra, starring Bobby Cannavale and Robert De Niro. The film has been described as a heartwarming comedy that is directed by Tony Goldwyn. If you were trying to catch up on blockbusters already released, definitely check out Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, which was number one at the box office last week and drew excellent reviews. Family films The Garfield Movie and If are a big hit with audiences, and if it's more adult comedy you're looking for, you can still check out the film Babes. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with spotty showers today and possibly a thunderstorm. Around a half an inch of rain is likely and high temperatures today flirting with 70. Chances of rain continue overnight and even into tomorrow afternoon too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Guilty, 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 guilty.
Tune in Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Sometimes I want to be a picture.
Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us, call or text, same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are aware, and so is our engineering department. If you were listening on the app on WMDX.
Yes.
There are apparently a couple programs, our program along with another program, running at the same time.
Correct.
They are working on it. We really appreciate everybody texting in and letting us know that this was going on. So again, our engineers, and they're fantastic.
Yes.
Are working on it. So give them a little time and we'll get that rectified. All right. He joins us on the final Friday of every month from onmilwaukee.com to talk all things entertainment. Matt Miller is here. Good morning, Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's Friday. Can't complain.
Absolutely. We're going to talk summer movies. And Greg, you saw Furiosa.
I saw Furiosa.
This is the latest in the Mad Max series. And from what I understand, though, it did not have as big of an impact as they were hoping.
Matt?
No. And this is kind of the story of the summer right now, that nothing's really blown up the box office, that, you know, the Fall Guy kind of started the summer off a little weakly. You know, the movies are good. That it's kind of frustrating that everyone's like, oh, the sky's falling. The box office is bad. It's like, the movies are good. The Fall Guy is good. Furiosa is good. They're just not doing that well. Yeah. And this is all stuff that was predictable when the strikes happened and took as long, and the studios took as long as they did to go to the bargaining table, which was, we looked at the summer lineup and we were like, there's not a lot of obvious winners. There's not a lot of guaranteed, you know, box office bonanzas here. There's no Marvel movies. There's no, you know, big massive sequels that are obvious, like point to that and say, yeah, that's going to make a ton of money. Fury Road, for as tremendous as it is, it's one of the best action movies ever made.
Yes.
It didn't really make that much money. People forget that it only made $45 million in its opening weekend and got destroyed by Pitch Perfect 2 its opening weekend. It was
the pitch's pack.
Yeah, and that was a movie with Charlize Theron and Tom Hardy that had incredible buzz from critics being like, this is the best action movie of all time, that had great trailers. And yeah, so of course, Furiosa isn't going to be able to make as much as even Fury Road did. So yeah, I think there was some hope last summer that Barbie and Oppenheimer did well, and Dune 2 did so well, which is a very weird movie to gross that much money. You know, I think there was some hope that, you know, maybe the superhero domination is over. Maybe audiences are on board to see different things. See a movie like The Fall Guy that, yes, may be based on a TV show, but for most people is an original premise. You know, to see something like Furiosa, which is a franchise installment that is really weird.
Yes.
To see something like Challengers, which is a thruple tennis movie that frankly did probably about as well as a thruple tennis movie could at the box office. It made like $50 million. That's pretty good for what that movie is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there was some hope that like, oh man, people are going to see weird, interesting movies again. And this summer is kind of saying people will take their safe bets still. You know, people will still choose to see, you know, a guarantee like a Marvel movie or something like that, or a Christopher Nolan movie, which for a lot of people is a guarantee brand, as opposed to take the risk on something like a Furiosa, which is, again, a very, really weird franchise.
You know, I first of all, I have my Deadpool and Wolverine ticket already purchased. I'm going to the first showing on the Thursday when it's released, as I do with all Marvel movies, because I can't stay away from the internet over the weekend and you'll ruin my life. But I saw Furiosa on Saturday. And, you know, the thing was, is I am not the biggest Mad Max film guy. Like, I saw Thunderdome when I was a kid. Shouldn't have, but I did. And I went into Fury Road just going, let's go see this movie. The cast looks great. And I was, as you, Matt, I was blown away by Fury Road. Amazing special effects, practical effects, fire, a guy playing guitar in a speeding truck. It looks so beautiful. And then I saw Furiosa and I was just like, this isn't as good. And I've heard some theories on it. One is that Fury Road was made kind of under the cloak of night, by the point of like, no one really paid attention to it. So when it came out with it, they're like, how did you do all that stuff? And how did no one die? But because Fury Road has gotten so much traction over the years, with Furiosa, there was so much behind it. They're saying, like, well, you're going to be able to play them a little more safe. And that playing safe shows in the special effects. And the biggest for me example of that is, you know, and this isn't a spoiler, but at the end of the film, during the credits, you see the future after this movie, which is Mad Max Fury Road, because it's a prequel. The stark difference in quality of film is right there in front of you.
Interesting.
The movie does itself no special favors by putting those clips from Fury Road over the end credits.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, oh my gosh, that's what Fury Road looked like. You can tell they filmed in the desert. You know, dust is kicking up all over the place. The cars are exploding into unpredictable bits. You know, the fire looks real. And, you know, the big set piece, the big kind of war rig set piece in the middle of Furiosa is cool and fun.
Yeah.
But it looks like it takes place in the textureless desert of The Flash. You know, it looks like this textureless, feelingless atmosphere, and there's cool things happening. There's dudes in parasails throwing bombs at a semi. It looks cool, and I'm like, okay, this is fun. But when you're following off Fury Road, which was so tactile, and I know people are like, oh, but there was a bunch of CGI in that movie. Yes, but they actually filmed in the desert, and they actually had these cars, and it didn't get polished to a degree that even if they filmed it tactically, physically, you know, it didn't look fake. You know, a lot of movies, this was a problem with Indiana Jones last year. They did that whole horse scene in Indiana Jones last year practically. They had Harrison Ford on a horse doing all that stuff. But then they goop it up with all this bonus CGI touching up and all of this bonus stuff. And you see it in the movie and you're like, this doesn't look real.
Yeah.
And I know that's a real horse. And I wonder if that's what happened with Furiosa in some of these scenes where I think they probably did do some of these desert action scenes, but maybe they touched it up to such a degree that you look at it and you're like, I don't think this is real.
Yeah.
And the beauty of Fury Road was you watched it and you're like, I can't believe this feels dangerous watching this movie.
So somebody did a little too much tweaking, it sounds like.
I think it was safer and easier to do. It's safer and easier to do things CG.
Sure.
You know, it's easier to program it that way than to plan out the shots and to plan out the special effects. And that a lot of special effects people, you know, the original people who did The Thing and a lot of those practical special effects talk about, you know, when you do a practical effect, you have to think so hard about where you're editing, what each shot is doing, and where the camera is. And when you're doing it in CG, you don't have to care quite as much. You know, you don't have to have the same kind of level of detail because you can just fix it in post. And there is a little bit of that in Furiosa. It's still, the action is still probably better than most action movies, but when you are coming on the heels of Fury Road and you look like Fury Road, how am I not supposed to compare the two?
Yeah.
Our guest is Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com. He joins us on the final Friday of every month to talk all things entertainment. We're talking movies.
Yeah. I mean, for me sitting in the theater, and when you watch it in the theater, it's in your face too. And that's that's, I think it's not the problem, but it was sort of, it didn't jump out at you. Yeah, exactly. And you know, at this moment, on May 31st, 2024, we are at the pinnacle of what CGI can do in film. It is the most modern, probably right in this moment, because we're this most modern day. But the problem is I see in these movies, and I saw this in The Flash, saw it in Black Adam, I saw it in Aquaman 2, is that even though they have access to all this great CGI advanced technology, because budgets are looked after so stingily and they want to turn these movies around so fast, they're pressuring these graphics houses to work so hard and so fast and over and under budget that they have to turn in the best work they can do. And this is not criticizing the graphics houses, because they're doing the best they can, but they have these billion-dollar conglomerates on their necks saying better, faster, now, don't worry about quality. And it shows. The Flash should have been amazing. The Flash should have been an amazing film. And I watched it. I'm like, I feel like I'm watching a cartoon.
Yeah. And that's interestingly enough, all of those movies you just said are all the same studio, Warner Brothers, including Furiosa. And I don't know if they have like an in-house special effects kind of style book that they're like, what we want is this kind of featureless, kind of overly shiny look for all of their special effects. But I had that problem with Black Adam too. And I had that problem with The Flash, where nothing looks tangible. And then you see something like a Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and it looks incredible. And you get totally immersed in the story. And that's a movie with tons of CGI that, you know, obviously all of the apes are motion capture. Yeah. But you fall into that movie more than when you watch Furiosa, and you're like, wow, this is really exciting. She's under the war rig and there's stuff going on, but there's no sense of danger because none of it looks like it is taking place in reality. It looks like it's taking place in a, you know, again, this texture-free 3D desert land.
Well, and nothing pulls you out of an experience more than that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're into it. It's going great. You're there. You're experiencing it. And then all of a sudden,
and again, I'm ripping on a movie I like. I like Furiosa. I want people to see Furiosa. I feel bad for this movie because all I do is complain about it. And I think it's good, but that's the problem when you make a movie riffing off of Fury Road. It's the same reason why you should never remake, you know, Citizen Kane or the Godfather movies, because everyone's going to spend that time being like, well, this isn't the Godfather. This isn't Citizen Kane.
And that reminds me, I've heard a rumor that they're going to remake The Princess Bride. They better not.
They've been talking about that for years.
They better not.
That feels like a Back to the Future 4 thing where, like, they can talk about it all they want. It's never going to happen.
Good.
And also, if it does happen, it's not going to make the money they think it is. Like, people like The Princess Bride, and the people who love The Princess Bride are the audience that is not going to want to see some reconfigured new version that's just going to basically kind of be like the Marvel sense of humor, but Princess Bride storyline, which, fine, I don't mind MCU humor, but leave The Princess Bride be.
Thank you. It's perfect as it is. It is perfect.
Yeah, and this goes back to, you know, stop remaking things. Stop sequelizing or rebooting things, because all we're going to do is compare it to the best version of that movie that we saw.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of unenviable to make a sequel or a prequel to Fury Road, because how do you top Fury Road? You know, it's the same problem with like Jurassic World. I spend so much of Jurassic World being like, wow, this movie's really reminding me of the better movie I could be watching.
And that's the thing for me. I don't understand. There's no consistent track record of money that makes me understand why the studios continuously do this. I mean, it's not a remake, but it's the new Roadhouse on Amazon, and it was terrible.
Bad.
It was when
it's all name recognition.
Yeah.
They're all afraid that people won't see original movies. So if you can take original ideas and staple them to an IP, to an intellectual property people know, oh, well, then maybe we'll get that audience in the house for this, you know, instead of, and this is always like, remake movies that we screwed up the first time. You know, remake movies that like we all like. They're doing a new The Running Man with Glenn Powell,
who's everywhere.
Twisters. He was in Anyone But You. He's like the big new It actor. Remake The Running Man. That movie didn't get it right the first time. That movie's kind of just okay. There's a reason why that's not beloved like Total Recall or the Terminator movies. It's kind of cheesy and corny. Remake that.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant movie to remake for the reality TV internet era.
We have a text from Robert from McFarland says, I refuse to watch the new Roadhouse with a pukey emoji. So you guys are
way to go through life.
You have
That's
lots
a good
of,
way to go through life.
You have lots of company. Matt Miller will still be here. We're talking all things entertainment. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
small town girl, living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to Maggie actively Dawn. Ruin. He joins us every Friday at this time to talk all
things
entertainment.
I'll take you through each of the 34 charges in detail.
Matt Miller
Do
is
not
here,
miss it.
And we were
the
talking
Maggie
movies,
Dawn Show,
and you saw something that you did not share.
Sorry.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Trump found guilty. I'm Sherry Preston. The former president is talking about his case right now from Trump Tower and the trial that resulted in 34 guilty counts last night.
You saw what happened to some of the witnesses that were on our side. They were literally crucified.
Trump at Trump Tower once again calling the trial unfair.
It was a rigged trial. We wanted a venue change where we could have a fair trial. We didn't get it. We wanted a judge change. We wanted a judge that wasn't conflicted. And obviously he didn't do that.
With the verdict, Trump becomes the first former president to be convicted of felony crimes. ABC's Mary Bruce with more on how the Biden campaign might use it between now and November.
Don't expect the Biden campaign to completely upend its messaging because of this. I'm told they're going to continue to focus on what is at stake in this election, highlighting abortion rights and the threat to democracy. The big question now is just how much will President Biden and his campaign lean in to Trump's conviction?
This is ABC.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly.
To hunt them all and take their pelts and bring them to the... And it's really funny. I remember seeing it at the film festival and thinking that by the end it was kind of wearing out its welcome a little bit.
Yeah.
But that also could have been like festival. Like when you're at a film festival and you're seeing like three or four movies a day.
Yeah.
It's really hard to like watch a movie and be like, oh boy, we're at 92 minutes. I am exhausted.
I'm so done.
Like,
yeah.
Like I would be interested to watch that movie in a normal setting as opposed to like, I got five more things I've got to see today. But it's so creative and it's really become like a critical cheering point this year because I don't even think it has a distributor. I think that movie is like kind of like old school road trip kind of, you know, just going around the country.
We saw it on Amazon.
Is it on Amazon?
Yeah.
We saw it on Amazon. My wife, Bridget, bought it because she buys every movie ever made. And we watched it there. And I will say, Matt, exactly. When we turned it on, when it came up on the front screen, it said, I think it was it was like 109 minutes, 100. I'm like, how is this going to be over an hour and a half? I'm going to get angry and make us turn this off because this is going to annoy
me. A minute for every 100 of Beavers.
Yes, exactly. It is so good and so fun. And it takes you back to the days of Lumiere.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
It is a
from Beauty and the Beast.
No.
Oh, Lumiere. I'm thinking about Lumiere.
I'm talking about like the Trip to the Moon.
Oh, okay.
Like the action sequences and the animation is like video game, but the actions of the humans are like old school film. It's beautiful and fun, and just go see it.
It's one of those movies that you watch and you're like, that's right, movies can do whatever they want.
Yes.
Like, you know, the movies don't have to be brand exercises. They don't have to be movies about, you know, continuing the story of a franchise from 3 years ago that people are dutifully showing up for. Movies can be unpredictable.
Yes.
Movies can be silent. Movies can be ridiculous. And it's a lot of fun, and you're not going to see pretty much anything like it. And it's definitely worth your time. And it's genuinely really funny, too. This isn't like, you know, a pretentious critics movie where it's like, oh, the subtle nuances. What humor, what taste. It's a silly slapstick movie about a guy punching beavers and wanting to murder human-sized beavers. Like, what's not to like?
Hey, you guys sold me, man. That's what I'm watching this weekend for sure. I do want to mention, we got about 3 minutes left, man. And I know you guys haven't watched it, but I highly encourage people, if you have HBO, watch Hacks.
Yeah.
Watch Hacks with Jean Smart and Hannah Einbender, who I did not realize is the daughter of Saturday Night Live's Lorraine Newman.
Yes, that's right.
I didn't know that either.
Yes. Hannah Einbender is Lorraine Newman's daughter.
And starring Meg Stalter, who is a Chicago comedic heavyweight. She's amazing. And I did a show with her once, and I remember watching her going, oh, she gets comedy. I'm an idiot.
It's very funny. It's sweet. It's painful sometimes. It's very honest. And it just got renewed for season 4. So I am overjoyed because they were dropping 2 episodes a week, and the finale just aired last night.
I thought that was, usually it's like a death knell or something.
No, it's so good. They're going to keep it going. And I'm so, so excited.
Watch it now before it gets and wins a bunch of Emmy nominations. And then people are like, what's this Hacks show I should be watching? And then you can be like, let me tell you what that Hacks. That is always the smuggest you can be as a person. Is when like the TV or movie awards happen, and it's like, what's this weird show that got all these nominations? And you're like, let me adjust my tie.
I was there from the beginning. I knew it all along.
Here's a fun really quick joke. Why'd the hipster burn his mouth eating pizza? Because he wanted to do it before it got cool. Boom! That's what people do. There you go. You're welcome. Happy Friday.
Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com joins us on the final Friday of every month. Follow him at onmilwaukee.com. Thank you so very much, Matt. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Talk to you then.
Stay with us. News is coming up next. Thank you so very much to Calvin and to Greg and our engineering team. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you most of all to you for calling and texting and absolutely for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy this weekend and you have a chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us for a Friday edition. We'll get you ready for the weekend, take a look at some fun things, and talk a little politics along the way. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.